sometimes just for no reason at all. And so parents or whoever's in charge of them, it's your job to make sure that they keep their seat while we're bringing the message this morning, okay? Too hot, right? Some of you got big, heavy coats on. Some of you ain't got a little flimsy summer shirt. I don't know if it's too... Might need to check it back there, fellas. It might be just a tad warm. Wiggle your toes. Get your blood circulating there. 1 Samuel chapter 13. I've been thinking about this thing about your heart. And there's a verse of scripture over in Proverbs where the Lord said, "My son, give me thine heart." I believe that's what the Lord wants. He wants your heart. I let my mind go back to when I got saved. And I thought, well, what made me want to do right? It wasn't a commandment. It wasn't even an obligation. It was that something got a hold of my heart. And that's what we need in churches this morning. What's wrong with churches today, a lot of churches, and I go to a lot of different churches, travel a lot of different places, is that the Lord don't have our heart. Our heart's not in it. And I thank God for anybody whose heart is in the Lord's work. You know what's wrong with marriages today? Our heart's not in them like they ought to be. If your heart's not there, it just ain't going to be what it ought to be. In 1 Samuel 13... look at verse 14, what God said here. The Lord was talking to Saul and told him that he was going to lose the kingdom here. And he said, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." Somebody tell me who that man was. David. Very good. You know that. "And the Lord commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Now that phrase, "man after God's own heart," has attracted a lot of attention. I've heard that quoted hundreds and hundreds of times. And there's two ways preachers use that, as you know. One way is, God said he's a man after mine own heart, saying that his heart's like my heart. And the other way is a man after God's own heart, like David's chasing God's heart, seeking God's heart. And both of those are true, but personally I believe the first one is the correct reading of that scripture, that David was a man after God's own heart in that his heart was like God's heart. You ever heard anybody say he takes after his daddy? That's a Bible saying, after. He takes after his daddy, she takes after her mama. He took after God. His heart took after God's heart. Now this morning I'd like to bring you a message on the subject, God's sweetheart. God's sweetheart. Don't throw stones at me as a compromiser. I know it's a bad thing for an independent Baptist preacher to preach on love. But Lord knows we could sure use some of the real kind. Amen? Amen, that's right. We're almost scared to preach it nowadays, afraid somebody will think we're sissified or something. But there's nothing more unsissy than the love of God Almighty. Real love. Amen? I want to talk to you about God's sweetheart. The Bible got a lot to say about your heart. You know, once in a while you run into one of these smarties and they say, "Well, now the Bible talks about loving the Lord with your heart, and all your heart is an organ in there that's full of blood and all that." I know that there's an organ in there called your heart, but I also know there's something inside you that the Bible refers to as your heart, and it's separate from your mind and it's separate from your stomach. It's the heart of a matter. It's your innermost being. It's the real you. It's your heart. Bible said, out of the heart where comes evil things and good things. That's separate usually from your mind. In the Bible, there are several different kinds of heart. Bible talks about a broken heart. You ever had that? That's a rough shape to get in, a broken heart. Yeah, the Bible talks about a merry heart. Bible talks about a deceitful heart. Bible talks about a stony heart. The Bible talks about a hard heart. The Bible talks about a proud heart. The Bible talks about a wicked heart. The Bible talks about an obstinate heart. And the Bible talks about a naughty heart. But in David this morning, God found what he's looking for. God found a sweetheart. He found him a man after God's own heart. And in Proverbs 23, verse 26, the Lord said, "My son, give me thine heart." Now, I remember when we was little going to school. I don't know if kids still do this or not. I remember when we was about in the third and fourth grade, when it would get Valentine's Day, we'd go to the store and buy a box. They come in boxes back then, of these little bitty heart candy Valentines. And they had the dumbest things wrote on them. But, you know, when you're in the third grade, it don't seem dumb. And one of them would say, "Be mine." And the other would say, "My sweetie pie," or something like that. One of them would say, I don't know. Did you get any of them this year, Brother Todd? What? Your daughter? Well, what do they say? They say things like that. You know, I forgot what all they say. They say something like, "My sweetheart," or "Will you be mine?" Or "Kiss me." They don't. Man, they've got kind of rough in the last few years, ain't they? They don't beat around the bush anymore. Now, I don't know if they said that or not, but they said stuff like that. But anyway, we used to give him. And you'd save that special one for that special person. You remember that? You'd say, "Now, I'm going to give that to Susie, and I'm going to give that to Sally, and I'm going to give that to so-and-so." And you'd say, "This one is for you know who." And boy, you'd save that one for that special Valentine, and sometimes you wouldn't see them for half a day, and you'd carry it in your pocketbook and have old hair wrapped around it and be nasty where you fooled around with it down there in the bottom of your pocketbook. And boy, you saved it from him that you wanted that special one to have that Valentine. And it meant a lot to you. When a young man has a sweetheart or a young lady has a sweetheart, no use saying we haven't been through this. We all have. He wants all her heart. He wants to know, "Do I have your heart?" I mean, in teenagers, when they first grow up, fall in love, you want to know, "Do I have your heart?" You ever been in love? I tell you what, man, you talk about something that will mess you up from one end to the other. Falling in love will affect you like nothing else that I know of. I believe what we're short on in our churches this morning is just falling in love with the Lord. Amen. Just giving His heart. If we felt love the Lord like we ought to, our other problems would take care of themselves in churches. The problem all boils down to is our love's not what it ought to be. Boy, I tell you what, I don't believe anything changes a person like falling in love. I've had people call me, say, "My soul, preacher, can you help me? My daughter, I used to talk to her. She used to could make some sense. Now, it's just like she's in another world. What in the world has happened to her?" I said, "I don't know what's happened to her. There's a boy somewhere, ain't they?" And she said, "Yes, sir, they sure are. But it's just like she can't even hear me." That's right. Boy, falling in love will do that to you. It'll zap you, brother. It'll knock you off your feet. It'll do something to you like nothing else in the world. When it just comes along, just go whoosh like this, and it just carries you away. And I believe if there's anything in our soul that we need this morning, it's to get that kind of love for God Almighty. I remember when I first got saved, boy, I fell in love with the Lord. I fell in love with His Word. I fell in love with His house. It's just like a brand new, fresh thing. It just totally consumes your emotions. That's all you can think about. That's all you want to think about. That's the only thing you want to do. It's not like, "Oh no, it's time to go to church." You cannot wait for another Sunday. I mean, because your heart's in it.
Your heart's in it. Your heart's in it. What we need in our churches this morning is an old-fashioned dose of falling in love with the Lord Jesus Christ to where your heart gets in that thing again. Boy, when your heart gets in it, you won't have to worry about the rest of you. It'll be here. I'll guarantee you that. Now, the Bible talks about doing things half-hearted. What does the Lord say? The Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with... I'm glad you got that. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You know why the Lord said that? Because your love ain't what it's supposed to be for God if He ain't got your heart. I got to looking at that. Now, I don't know if I can make a Valentine. But anyway, let's make a quick Valentine. Can't make one. There's one right there. There is a Valentine. See that? That's supposed to look like a heart, so it goes down the middle right there. Now, let's say that's a Valentine right there. That Valentine is very pretty. Now, let's say that Valentine right there, that's a heart-shaped Valentine. And you got a thing like this, a thing like that. Now, if you just love God with half your heart, you know what you've got there? You got a question mark. And it's just a half of a heart is a big question mark like that. And so if a person's half-heartedly serving God, there is a question mark over them where they even love God or not. You ever seen anybody say, well, they go to church and they sing in the choir or they do that, but you know, I don't really know if they love the Lord or not. It's questionable about them. There's a question. You know why? Because they're half-heartedly serving God. Now, I don't believe wholehearted serving God is for only for people over 50. Amen? I don't believe that those that love the Lord have to be unable to do anything else. Or handicapped. Or it's ugly, nobody won't have them. Amen? I believe that serving God wholeheartedly is for 14-year-olds and 16-years-old and 20-years-old. Some of you young people here this morning, you know what you ought to do? You ought to say, I'm going to give the Lord all my heart, every bit of it. No holding back. I'm not going to wait till I'm 20 or 30 or 40 or 50. I'm going to give the Lord all my heart now. You remember back in your early days when you were courting and you'd go over to see your sweetheart? And you'd be out here sitting in the swing like this. And you'd sit there and you'd say, what's going on? And she'd say, oh, not much. Have a good day. Yeah, did you have a good day? All that old, you know, you just beat around the bush because you're too dumb to know what to say. And you say, well, I got to ask you something. Have I got your heart? And she says, what if she said this? Well, I tell you what, you've got half of it. You say, what do you mean half of it? Well, who's got the other half? She's saying, I have saved the other half for all the other boys. Now, there ain't nobody in here, if you really cared about her, would accept that for an answer, would you? If you'd accept that for an answer, you're not very bright for a young man. What if she said, you've got half my heart, and you say, hey, wait a minute here. I only got half? She says, that's right. Where's the other half? All the other guys get it. Well, old Tom's got it on Monday, and Toby's got it on Tuesday, and so-and-so's got it on Wednesday. She said, all the other boys have split the other half. You say, well, that's not fair. And she says, but it is fair, too, because you got one whole half all to yourself. So that means you're better than all them, as good as all them put together, and I have to split the other half up between all of them. He's going to say, no way. There ain't no way. I ain't putting up with this. I either got all of your heart or I'm out of here. I mean, I'll see you later. I'll find me somebody else to be my sweetheart. If you ain't going to give me all your heart, I don't want none of it. Most boys, that's what they'd say. If they got any sins, that's what they'd say. They're not willing to share half your heart with everybody else. Neither would you his. Well, if you called you on the phone, you say, well, where was you last night? Oh, I had some things to do. What do you mean you had some things to do? Well, just some things to do. What do you mean you had some things to do? Have I got your heart? You've got half of it. There ain't a girl in here that would accept. There's not a husband or a wife in here that would accept it if your mate said, you only have half of my heart. You wouldn't be happy with that. You wouldn't be satisfied with that. That's why the Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You can't say, Lord, I give you 75% of my heart, but 25% of it belongs to the devil. That doesn't work. God don't want that. God's not pleased with that. He wants all your heart. Now, with that illustration in mind this morning, I want to ask you some questions, and I want to mention a thing or two to you. Does the Lord have your heart? What about your Bible reading? What about reading the Word of God? Now, as you know, God the Holy Ghost is the author of Holy Scripture. He wrote it. This is a love letter from God to us. Now, you'd never know that. You'd never know that a lot of people love the Lord because they never read His letters that He writes them. Somebody put up a sign down the road here I've been looking at lately coming up in Nebo. Said, if God made an editorial in the newspaper, would you read it? I thought, you better believe I would. If I thought God wrote something in the newspaper, I'd want to see what God had to say. And yet many people say, I'm His sweetheart, He's got my heart, but never read His letters. Now be honest with me this morning. Some of you grown-ups, you're going to think it's a little bit childish, but let's be honest this morning. Did you read your sweetheart's letters? If somebody wrote you a letter that you really like, do you read it? That's a dumb question, ain't it? Oh, brother. I remember back in school. Thank God I'm out of school. I remember, it makes me sick thinking about it. I remember back in school, people take their high school yearbook. And as soon as we'd get them things, they'd start passing them around. And you know what they'd do? They'd take it over here and they'd want all their friends to write in it. And then they'd take this special page over here and write reserved for whoever, you know. And I mean, they picked out the best page there for their sweetheart. Boy, I'd get them things and somebody'd hand me them things and say, Danny, were you writing this? Were you writing that? And I remember, it depended on how you felt about that person, what you wrote in there, you know. I mean, if they was just your typical nerd at the high school, you'd say, dear so-and-so, sure has been going school with you. Stay out of trouble. Be good. You know, and all that. And that'd be it. But boy, if it was somebody special, somebody that you thought had a little part of your heart, boy, you would write. Or if that special someone, you'd say, here, take this thing, write in it, and I can give it to me when the bell rings. But when that special person got it, you'd say what? Take it home with you. You know why? Because you wanted them to have plenty of time and concentration to write those perfect words that you'd treasure for many moons until next year when the annuals came out. Boy, when you got that thing back the next day, I've seen girls go down the hall like this. Oh, I can't wait to see what he wrote. I mean, you know, just act plumb crazy about it like that, you know, and go down the hall like this, and they'd run right straight to the library and get it out and just read every word of it like this. Dear so-and-so, they looked how he signed their name. They thought, wonder if he had any special feeling when he wrote my name. Wonder if he felt something when he wrote my name. You know why? That old heart just a-jumping. Boy, you know when that boy, you know these girls, you know they all get them a boyfriend when we have youth camp, and then they get a letter from Georgia, they get a letter from Florida, or they get a letter from somewhere. They want to get that letter and tear that thing open, and this is an announcement I'm supposed to make. They want to get in there, and they'll tear it just like that, you know, and they'll look. smell of it, see if it's put any perfume on it or anything like that, and they'll begin to read. They'll take it straight to their room. You know you went to the mailbox when you found a letter from your sweetheart. You got it open before you got back to the house, didn't you? Didn't you? You had it open before you got back to the house. You went straight to your room. You didn't care what was on TV. You went straight to the room, closed the door, got you a good place, settled down real good, put your pillow behind the, you wanted to get the juice out of this thing, brother. You wanted to enjoy it. And you read every word of it. And when you got through with it, you know what you done? You read it again. And before you went to sleep that night, you got that thing out and read it again. And you meditated on what that thing said. And you thought about it. Oh, let me tell you this morning, folks, this right here is a letter from our sweetheart to us. There's something wrong with our hearts this morning if the Word of God is never picked up. Let me ask you kids something this morning. When's the last time you picked your Bible up and opened it up and said, God, I thank you for writing this to me, and tried to read every word of it and feel what he felt as he penned it down and wrote to you? I just preached on the Bible last Sunday night, so I ain't gonna spend a lot of time on it this morning. But oh boy, I'll tell you, I remember in school, it sounds dumb now, but it's true. The least little old bitty thing, girls would keep chewing gum wrappers in their pocketbooks for months that they got from their sweetheart. A little old chain or a cross or a pinky ring. I remember the big thing when I was in school was all our shirts had these loops on the back of them right there. Well, mine's got one right now. I didn't know if they still put them on there. And the big thing was collecting the guy that you liked loops. You think I'm crazy. How many of you remember them doing that in school? Raise your hand. See there? A lot of old fogies in here. Buddy, you'd be going down the hall and somebody'd walk up behind you and go, and jerk up. My mom getting mad. Your mom, she'd come home and said, Danny, who tore a hole in the back of your shirt? I'd say, some fool grabbing a drive walking down the hall, but that just because, I don't know where that got started. All people just want a little bitty thing. Little bitty thing. Now, brother, you can't tell me, If you don't realize, if you begin to realize where this book come from, and that the hand of God, can you imagine going to heaven one day, and Habakkuk walking up to you, and Malachi walking up to you, and saying, hey, did you enjoy what I put in the Word of God? And you have to hang your head and say, I'm sorry, I never even read it. How many of you in here have read the book of Malachi? Raise your hand. You have read the book of Malachi. Well, you know what the rest of you people better do? You better fall in love with your Bible. Your Bible is a precious possession. It's the Word of God. You say, well, I can't understand it. Well, what are you going to do? Wait till you can understand it before you ever read it? That ain't never going to happen. You've got to get in it. You've got to try it. Get your Bible open. Read that thing and fall in love with the Word of God. Let me say, secondly, let's talk about your prayer life. You know what prayer life, you know what praying is? Praying is not an art that you learn. It's not reciting words and learning like poems and stuff. All prayer is talking to God, is talking to the Lord. Now, be honest. When you was growing up and you had a sweetheart, did you enjoy talking to them? I've seen them. I don't know what they find to talk about so much. You can't figure them out, can you? You that have teenagers, they get on that phone. You say, what in the world could you possibly be talking about so long? Well, I'll tell you what it is. When something gets a hold of your heart, boy, you can find something to talk about. You can find something to talk about. I've seen them as soon as school's out. Run right to each other. Just like that. And you think, you know why? Because you enjoy talking to that person that's got your heart. You talk to them every chance you get. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been down that road. Don't sit there and look at me. I know some of you what you did. You used to sit there at night, get the phone in your room, and you'd put the pillow over the phone, didn't you? You guilty dog, you. Look, you ought to see the looks on your faces. And you put your pillow over the phone like this so mama won't hear it ring. And you got your hand on it right at that precise moment at which it's supposed to ring, so that as soon as it goes, just like that, you get it. You don't have it, it don't have a chance to get that ring out. You ever done that? Oh, you can't wait to hear from your sweetheart. Now, the way you know you ain't in love is when he calls, oh, no. Is that him? Tell him I ain't here. You know, take the phone off the hook. That ain't your sweetheart. But boy, when that sweetheart's getting ready to call, you got that hand on that phone. I've seen him come in. Did so-and-so call? You know what you hear now? Answer the beeps. Be sure and get the beeps. I want my call. Well, you know why? Because you want to hear from that sweetheart, don't you? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. When God gets a hold of our heart, when God gets our heart, we don't have no problem talking to Him. I wish you could have been here last night. I wish everybody here had been here last night. I'd about rather you been here last night than this morning. Last night we had prayer meeting in here. We started off slow after the sweetheart banquet up there. Come down here and have prayer. And there's people around here praying. One time, I always lay right here on the floor and pray, because I figure the guy that stands right here needs my prayers more than anybody I can think of. And there's guys down here praying and out in there praying, and some of the ladies were here. And it got so good in here that I just stopped praying and started listening. I thought about that verse of Scripture. It says them prayers are like incense going up to God. And I thought, boy, it's just like smoke coming up out of this place. And I thought, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. I thought about all them prayers. And I thought, boy, God, I want a lot. I want to talk to you, God. And I just told him about everything. I talked to him about Brother John leading the singing. I talked to him about all the buses coming in. I talked to him. I talked to him about you sitting here. I talked to him about this sermon I'm preaching. I talked to him about the invitation that's going to happen in a few minutes. I've done talked to the Lord about all that. Me and him's already talked it over. And I'll tell you what, if God has your heart, you're going to want to talk to him every now and then. Lord have mercy. Your sweetheart. You don't do your sweetheart like a lot of us do God. You don't do your sweetheart like you did. You wouldn't have a sweetheart very long. Here's Todd and his wife sitting over there. They're already having problems, I can see right now. Now he's just sitting up here where he can hear the preaching. Say his wife Marty sitting right there this morning. Do you think he gets up every morning and gets ready, and right before he goes out the door, he thought, oh, I forgot. And he goes in and says, oh, Marty, I love you. You are my wife. Thank you for being good to me and our precious children. See you this evening. Then the next morning, he gets up from work, getting ready to go to work. And right before he goes out the door, he goes, oh, darn it, I forgot. Oh, Marty, I thank you for being my wonderful wife. I love you with all my heart. I'll see you this evening. Thank you for being good to our children. And go on. And the very next day, he gets up. Oh, Marty, thank you for being my wife. I love you with all my heart. Since the day that we first met, I love thee. I thank you for being good to my children. And goes out the door. And then the next day, oh, Marty. Boy, I'll tell you, after about 5 or 6 days of that, you know what's going to happen, don't you? He's going to say, oh, Marty. She's going to say, hush! If you can't say it and mean it, just shut up. I don't want to hear it. Right? That's what she's going to say. Now really, let's get honest here. How do you think God feels? When every morning you get up, you brush your teeth, you comb your hair, you drink, and right before you go out the door, oh no, he preached on praying. I forgot to pray. You know what? Dear Lord, thank thee for saving my soul. Thank thee, help all the missionaries on the foreign field. Help mom and dad. Bless all the children. In Jesus' name, amen. You're going out the door. Next morning, dear Lord, I thank thee for this beautiful day. Thank thee for saving my soul. Bless all the missionaries on the foreign field and those to whom we have not to give. And all, you know, all that kind of stuff we say. And you say that same thing over and over and over
and over. There's probably people sitting here right now. You're praying. All you're praying is just reciting that little thing over and over and over and over and over. Finally, the Lord says, hush! You can't say it and mean it. I don't want to hear it. You know what you need to do? You need to learn how to talk to God out of your heart. You don't recite that junk to your sweetheart. You tell them, boy, I'm feeling bad today. You know, is everything all right? You need anything? You know, I want you to think about me today. I got to do this and I got to do that. You tell them right what's on your heart. You don't make up this speech. And that's the way you talk to God, folks. You got to learn to talk to the Lord right out of your heart. If you're sick, say, Lord, I'm sick. If you're discouraged, say, Lord, I'm discouraged. If you feel bad, say, Lord, I feel bad. My faith's weak. God, you got to help me. I prayed about something, I think it was last night when I got home. And it was just something that popped in my mind. You'd never include it in a normal prayer. But if it pops in your mind, God already knows about it anyway. You might as well tell the Lord what's on your heart. Has He got you? Has He got you? What about your church attendance? I'll tell you something else you do with your sweetheart. You see them every chance you get. Ain't that right? Some of you boys, Lord in mercy, as soon as you got off work, if we could have testimonies in here, over to her house you went, didn't you? There you went. Every evening. Your friends thought you died. You didn't play ball with them no more. You didn't go mess around with them no more and go hunting or fishing or nothing. Where's so-and-so? He's over her house. Where's so-and-so? He's over her house. Where's so-and-so? Lord, what's happened to that crazy fella? Well, you know what happened? He's got him a sweetheart. Amen? Suddenly, she's more important than hunting or fishing or playing ball or anything. Suddenly, boy, every minute he gets, he'll bear to her house. You know that's the same way it is when you get right with the Lord and the Lord gets your heart. Where's old so-and-so? He's at church. Where's that? He's at church. Does he go to church all the time? What's happened to him? I'll tell you what's happened to him. He's fell in love with the Lord. Amen? How many of you ever heard your family say that? My goodness, do they have church down there 7 days a week? What's the matter with them people up there? You're getting too involved. I'll tell you what it is. They know that God's got a hold of your heart. And that's what ought to happen. Well, and I'll tell you something else, too. If you'll remember when you was a courtin', that's the old-fashioned word. You remember back in them days? When you went over there, dogs didn't keep you away. She had a big old dog. You learned ways to get around that thing. You'd carry a big old bone with you over there. Roll down the window, sling it way down the pillow, and while it went down there, you'd jump out and run in the house. Mean old mammals couldn't keep you away. How many of you fellas right here, let's have some confession right now. How many of you men right here have been run off, literally run off the property by mammal, papaw, mama, daddy, when you was trying to court your sweetheart? Would you raise your hand? Come on now, there's one, two. Get honest. But it's time for you to leave. Sweetheart runs you off, you got problem. But I mean, you've been run off the property. Here comes grandma in. All right, son, it's time for you to leave. Yes, ma'am. You know when that happens, you know what'll happen the very next day? There you are back over. Ain't that right? Wild horses can't keep you away. Nothing's going to keep you away. I mean, her brother threatened to beat you up. This time, that happened. But if you love somebody, you're going to be right there. That's the same way it is about God. You see these people, it's always saying, well, somebody hurt my feelings at church and I'm just not going back. You know what their problem is? They don't love the Lord. It ain't because they got their feelings hurt. It's because they don't love the Lord. If God, hear me this morning, if God Almighty has
is your heart, you're a hard individual to get rid of. Nobody will have to pamper you and pet you and baby you to keep you in church all the time. Brother, if you're going to say, I'm going to the house of God, I'm going to be there because I love the Lord and it's His place and it's His house. I'm going to church on Sunday because I love the Lord. You ridicule if your friends made fun of you. Maybe your sweetheart's 2 years old, younger than you, and you're in the 10th grade and they laugh at you for robbing the cradle. So-and-so, is that the best you can do? You don't care. You go right back over there, don't you? What about you witnessing? I thought about this. You ashamed your sweetheart? If she's really got your heart, you ain't ashamed of her. No, you do this. You say, got a picture of her right here. Well, that's my youngest girl right there. My pictures got changed around here a little bit. Just happen to have her picture. If you got a sweetheart and the boys see you got your wallet open, they don't say, hey, whose picture you got in there? Nobody. My cousin. You don't do that. You don't do that, do you? You say, that is my sweetheart. That's who it is. What if your sweetheart found out that you wouldn't show her picture to somebody? Boy, that hurt, wouldn't it? Well, did you show him my picture? No. Did you even tell him about me? Well, it never came up. What do you mean it never came up? Did you even mention my name on this trip you've been on? Skiing or whatever? Well, no, but, what's the matter? You ashamed of her? She's really got your heart, you ain't. What do you think the Lord thinks? When the Lord looks down at us and we work with somebody for weeks or months or go to school. And the Lord said, did you even mention me? And you say, "But Lord, I would have mentioned you, but it never came up in the conversation." You know what God's going to say? He said, I ain't got your heart. Let me tell you folks something this morning. If God's got your heart, you're not going to be ashamed to talk about Him. You're not ashamed of your sweetheart. Now, your basic problem this morning, if you find yourself not wanting to talk about God at work or at school, your problem is you ain't giving your heart yet just right. Or else you have and you've took part of it back. Football. Girls fall in love with the sorriest old bum in town. It don't matter what nobody says about him. They can come up, everybody in the family say, that's the sorriest boy that ever hit McDowell County. If he's got her heart, she just ignores it and goes right on with him. You ever notice that? You can't, just like talking to that pulpit right there. And if God's got your heart, it don't matter how much they criticize the Bible. It don't matter how much they laugh at the church. You just go right on because the Lord's got your heart. Well, the last thing in your devotedness. I could say a lot of things, but I'm going to stop. If you love your sweetheart, you're faithful to her. Even when she ain't around. Now, if you're just faithful to her when she's looking, she ain't got your heart. If you're only faithful to your sweetheart when he's around, he don't have your heart. Your heart, if somebody's got your heart, they got it all. If they don't have it all, they don't have it. What if your sweetheart just was faithful to you on Sundays? Is there anybody here that would have a sweetheart that'd say, on Sunday, I'm yours? But it's none of your business what I do on Saturday night. Or Friday night. Don't even ask. I give you a whole day on Sunday. Now cool it. Lay off the rest of the week. Ain't nobody accept that, would they? Why, you'd pitch a fit. Yet that's what we ask the Lord to do. Did you know you'll do things when you fall in love with somebody that you'd never do for any other reason? You'll stick your neck out. You'll do anything if you're in love. You do anything. You'd ride a bicycle off a cliff, man, if it gets a hold of your heart just right. It's powerful.
That's why you think these people give up everything and go to the mission field. Why do you think people just live a life of prayer and sacrifice? That, you know what? God gets their heart. I heard about a lady who was 65 years old and she is a widow. And she fell in love. She'd been a widow for a while, and a 75-year-old man came along, and I mean they hit it off. And it was love at first sight. And her heart done flips. And boy, made them feel 20 years younger. And they want to get married. And she'd always smoked cigarettes, and she'd smoked for years and years and years and tried to quit, and people had fussed at her and told me it was going to kill her and everything else, and she never did quit, never would quit. And it came down to that point where that old fella said, "I ain't going to marry you as long as you smoke," and she laid him down and quit just like that. You know what that story tells us? What threats from doctors and your own health and your own money and your own friends or family can't do, love can do in a second. I heard people say, "Well, Brother Danny, I know I'm doing wrong, but I tell you what, I know I do a lot of stuff wrong, but I'm trying to quit and I just can't discipline myself." I know what you need to do. You need to fall in love with the Lord. When you fall in love with the Lord, boy, that stuff just, it comes easy. You remember when you first got saved, how easy it was to quit everything wrong? You know why? Because God had your heart, brother. I mean, He had it all. You didn't even have to try to give up nothing wrong. That's hard to keep that first love like it ought to be. And you may be sitting here this morning and say, "Well, Brother Danny, I know that everything you're saying is right, but my problem is, how do I love the Lord? I don't love Him like I'm supposed to. How do I start? I can't make myself. If I don't, I don't." I'll tell you what you can do. The best way to love the Lord is know Him. The more you know Him, the better you love Him. You can't help but love Him if you know Him. The only way you're ever going to get to know Him is get in His Word. Stay in church. Stay just like you are right now in the house of God. But what you need to do this morning as I close is take your heart just like it is and give it to Him. And get down here on your knees this morning and say, "God, You've got my heart. It's not much. It's not perfect. It's got all kind of junk in it. But God, You've got it." I read this story of a little girl who made her daddy a Valentine. And she worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. And it was going to be a homemade one. I like for my girls to make me a homemade one a lot better than I do them you buy in a store, don't you? And boy, they made a big one, and she drawled on it, you know, and was going to write her name, and she's trying to cut it and couldn't cut straight, and she cut her finger and got blood on it, and it didn't look right. And finally she started crying, and tears dripped on it and made the writing smeared and had blood on it. And finally she just got mad like that and throwed it down and put it up under her bed and went to the table and is eating dinner. Her daddy noticed that she's wiping her eyes like that and tears coming out of her eyes, and she's sobbing. He said, "Honey, what's wrong with you?" She said, "No." He said, "Honey, what's wrong with you?" And she goes, "No." He said, "What is wrong with you?" And finally, he said, "Come here to me." She sat down and she said, "Daddy, I made you a Valentine, but it's ugly and I couldn't give it to you because I messed it up and it didn't look right." And all she, her heart was broke, you know, and he said, "Well, honey, won't you go get it?" She said, "No, it's ugly and I messed it up and it's cut crooked and I got blood on it and all this kind of stuff." He said, "Won't you go get it?" And she brought it and gave it to him, and there it was, all crinkled up and had tears and blood and everything on it. And boy, that daddy's, I mean, it just touched him. He said, "I want it just like that." He said, "You mean it and you give it to me from your heart, and I want it just like You made it for me."
And she didn't think he'd accept it because it was cut crooked, messed up. But it's her attitude. And I tell you what, every one of you, a lot of you here sitting here this morning, your love ain't what it's supposed to be. Right? Let's admit it. It ain't what it ought to be. But I tell you what you can do this morning. You can come with the right attitude and say, God, it's bleeding. It's got tear stains on it. But here it is. It's yours. And God will accept it just like that. Just like you are. God wants your heart just like you are this morning. He don't want you to say, well, I got to straighten up and everything. He won't have me the way I am. He wants you just like you are to give what you've got to Him. And what you ought to do right now is get on your knees this morning before God. Say, God, I'm wicked. God, I'm wrong. God, I'm sinful. But God, with all my sincerity, I give you my heart. God will take that heart and make it what it ought to be. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. We're not going to keep you but just a couple of minutes here. The question is this morning, has the Lord got your heart? If God's got your heart, everything else will work out. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm wicked as a devil. I'm messed up. I've got sin. Well, you're just like that little girl that had it cut, had blood on it, had tears. God just wants you to give it to Him. Give it to Him. Something's already coming this morning. If you need to come, you just come on right now. Get out of your seat. If you want to come and give the Lord your heart right now. That's what God wants. He wants your heart. Listen, there's something wrong with us when we have to make ourselves do what we're supposed to do all the time. Something wrong in our heart. We got heart problems. We got heart problems. Father, do what ought to be done in our lives this morning. Lord, as we give you our heart this morning, Lord, it ain't much, but what it is you've got. By your grace, you've got my heart this morning. Lord, I don't want to hold back anything. I want to love you and your word. I want you, us to be sweethearts, me and you. I want you to be the most precious thing in the world to me. Lord, I want you to consume my thoughts and my life. God, I want to live my life for you. Help us, God, this morning to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to come this morning and join these, lots come to the altar already. If you need to come, God's dealing with you. You need to give God your heart. Teenagers, young people, give Him your heart. Give Him your heart. Let's sing. Come on. Come on right now.
Just as I am.
Sing.
Amen. But that thy blood,
amen,
was shed for me.
Give Him your heart this morning.
That
that's right. Give Him your heart.
It's become to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. Yes. Let's sing. If the Lord's got your heart, all this other stuff will work out.
Just
come on. Come on, give Him your heart.
I am at
waiting
not.
Give Him your heart. Give Him your heart.
My soul.
Amen.
One.
Amen.
Dark blood.
That's right.
To thee whose blood.
Amen. Give Him your heart. That's what He wants.
Of God I come. I come.
Let's bow our heads again, once again, with these on the altar this morning. I wonder if there are those here this morning, say, preacher, some maybe still coming, others are praying. We're going to pray and let you go. Someone here this morning, say, preacher, God spoke to me this morning. Lord dealt with me, and I know that's what I need to do. I need to give God my heart, and I want you to pray for me. In this closing prayer this morning, I want you to pray for me. Anybody, slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand and say, pray for me. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. We got a heart problem. That's what our problem is. God get your heart. He'll get the rest of you. We're going to pray. If you need to do something, make a move. Now's the time to do it. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for the good time we've had this morning. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the word. Thank you, God, that you said in your word that we'd give you our heart. Lord, I'm glad you put that in the book of Proverbs. And I'm glad, Lord, that you said that David was a man after your own heart. Lord, many times his heart wasn't what it's supposed to be, but God, you had it, and that's the main thing. And I pray, God, that you'd take our hearts this morning. Bless these on the altar. Give them that they need. Thank you for these that lifted their hand and asked for prayer. Help them. Bless them, Lord. Lord, we know in this wicked world sometimes it's hard to keep our eyes and thoughts and heart on thee. There's so much junk around us. Help us to ignore it. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We'll praise you and thank you for it. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.